So these are the ropes, the tricks of the trade, the rules of the road. You're one of those dopes for whom they were made, the rules of the road. You follow.
You're listening to Jazz 88. I'm Peter Solomon. My guest today is Maud Hixon, who's very busy working between the Twin Cities and New York and elsewhere. And she does all kinds of different things. One of the things that we're going to be talking about is a tribute to Doris Day. And she's got a couple other things planned at Crooners. So we'll be hearing about that. Maud, first, I wanted to kind of delve into your own background. Can you tell me about where you're from and how you were exposed to music and how you became a singer?
I'm from right here. I grew up in St. Louis Park and went to school locally. And I didn't really think I would be a singer because I loved singing, but I didn't enjoy being on stage. So I would make little attempts to get on a stage and sing a song, and it would be very scary. So I kind of abandoned that after a while as an idea for a career. But then as time went on, I realized that I really was unhappy going out to hear music and not being able to participate. So my training is kind of spotty in that I didn't go to school for it really. But I was mentored by a lot of wonderful local musicians and just sort of learned on the job and started getting gigs, and now that's what I do.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me.
What was the music that made you fall in love with song?
People that were singing in the 30s and 40s, I really enjoyed that really clear diction, so I could understand all the words. I enjoyed swing very much, and I loved the stories of the songs that were being written around that period. So that was sort of my gateway to jazz, and also film musicals were a great way to learn these standards as well.
Which is a great segue into Doris Day. I was reading up a little bit about her, and her career started when she was 17 back in 1939, and she became famous with Les Brown.
Gonna take a sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease, gonna make a sentimental journey to.
And she's in all those wonderful films. And she's really a great vocalist. I think that I wasn't even aware of her jazz singing and her career as a big band singer because I'd been exposed to her as an actor. So can you talk about what she brought to the table and what her contributions were?
Yes, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I think a lot of people are remembered now in this age we have where we can look at someone's entire career, you know, just get on the internet and check them out. We'll see the last things they did, and that's what they're remembered for. But Doris's early career was very exciting because she was a big band singer with Les Brown during World War II. She was part of that extremely exciting jazz period, and she was a great singer. She could do anything she wanted, but she went to Hollywood and got sort of caught up in that lifestyle, and so a lot of her movies became more comedies than musical. And also musicals went a bit out of fashion by the 60s. They weren't really doing them so much. So she would sing like the theme song, and that would be all. So people aren't always aware. Also, she was one of those effortless sounding singers where you don't hear the effort that she's putting into what she's doing. Rosemary Clooney was like that, a lot of other singers. And so they get overlooked sometimes because it sounds easy.
What do you know? He smiled at me in my dreams last night. My dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? He smiled at me in a different.
but I presume it's not so easy.
Oh, well, not for me.
So can you talk about the repertoire that you were looking at when you were considering songs for your kind of Doris Day retrospective?
There's so much to choose from, and you can go back to her big band days. There are great movie songs. And then there are also all the albums she was doing. All the time that she was making movies, she was a huge recording star. And people forget that in addition to albums, these artists were recording singles, lots of singles that were just for radio airplay. And so she did tons of exciting material and some surprising albums that people don't know about. She did one with Andre Previn that's probably her most straight-ahead jazz album that I enjoy.
Now the clock on the wall says 11:30. Give a minute or two. When the little and the big can meet at 12, I want to see the last of you. I know I said I loved you, but tonight, my honey dear, three other words are on my mind. You're out of here. Take your books and your bike and your Barca lounger.
So you've got other programs coming up next month, I believe, and there's one that focuses on women songwriters. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. In May, we're going to Glenwood, and we're taking our women songwriters show. It's one of my favorites because we cover all these different songwriters, and it goes from 1907 when Eva Tanguay co-wrote a song that she used for her vaudeville act. And then we go all the way up to the present day and cover lots of interesting people like Dorothy Fields, who was one of the most prolific lyricists, and Carolyn Lee, one of my favorite lyricists as well. But we just touch on everybody who was doing something that helps us tell the story of women and their kind of secondary role in most of popular music history.
But it's not so much a secondary role. I guess the more you delve into that, you discover these people. There's a great songwriter that I learned about named Irene Higginbotham.
Yes.
You know, she's related to one of my favorite musicians, J.C. Higginbotham, a trombonist who worked with Louis Armstrong. And, and you know, she wrote some beautiful music. And you know, people overlook her. And there's others as well.
Baby, we two can't get along. I'm never right, you're never wrong. So meet me at no special place, and I'll be there at no particular time. Baby, it just ain't.
So I want to get to your album that was recently featured on Jazz 88, but before I do, is there anything else coming up that we should know about?
Well, we do have a couple of other wonderful programs that we're doing in the Dunsmore Room at Crooners, and one of them is the next installment in the series that we do of songs by the decade. We started with actually the prequel, which was prior to 1920, and then we did the 20s, and then we just did the 30s, and we'll be doing the 40s in May. And then in June, we will be doing a Henry Mancini centennial.
That's amazing. And then I also know in June you're going to be featured at the Twin Cities Jazz Festival.
Yes.
Which
that
I think
will be
is
fun.
The 21st and 22nd.
Yes.
And you'll be hearing some of that on Jazz 88. So that's exciting. I wanted to turn to something else. And so you spoke last August with Sean McPherson, our music director and host of the Afternoon Cruise. And at that time, I believe Permanent Moonlight, your album that featured the songs of Richard Rodney Bennett, had just been released. And are you winning an award for this album?
I am. In New York, they have something called the Bistro Awards, and it's for excellence in the cabaret and jazz and musical theater world. And they chose this album as an award for excellence. So I'm going out there on April 1st.
So I think we should go out on one of these great songs from Permanent Moonlight. And so what do you recommend?
Well, we could do the one that I'll be performing at the awards show. It's called Goodbye for Now.
What can you tell me about the song?
It is a musical reading of the will. And Richard wrote the music, and the lyrics are by Charles Hart, who wrote all the lyrics for Phantom of the Opera.
Great. Here's Maud Hixon from Permanent Moonlight. Maud, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Peter.
I really appreciate it.
When I, for reasons of my own, see fit to quit this sphere, to those of you I leave behind, I hope and pray that you may find some pleasure and some peace of mind in all that follows here. To any siblings who may survive, I leave my scribblings to prove.
That's singer Maude Hickson. She spoke with me in late March. You can find information about her upcoming gigs, including that tribute to Doris Day, at her website, maudehickson.com. That's spelled H-I-X-S-O-N. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.
Is not hampered by my being dead. Goodbye for now. Goodbye for now. To make amends to all.